Proverbs chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Let us give ourselves to God in the hearing of his word read and explained. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Okay, so the foolish son is part of what? Yes, Beatrice. He is the grief of his mother, which is a part of what, John?
Sin.
Okay, it is sinful. Part of what, Carissa?
The curse.
The curse. I tried not to give you too much of a hint, because if I said from Genesis 3, or if I said from the sermon this week, you would have all got it immediately. That's right. So a foolish son is saying, I'm going to be part of the curse. I'm going to be part of the multiplied sorrow that comes to my mom in the attack of the serpent and its fruit. A wise son makes what, however, from verse 1? Yes, John?
A happy father.
A glad father. And so what is that a part of, Beatrice?
The promise.
The promise, the victory of Christ, right? Who crushes the serpent's head. This is why Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in
the Lord.
So verses like this one throughout the book of Proverbs, which talk about either making a father or mother glad or avoiding making a father or mother sad or giving a father or mother pain, is saying trust in Jesus, belong to Jesus. He crushes the serpent's head. He has taken away the guilt of our sin. It is by his worthiness that we may be permitted to make our parents glad. And it is by his power that we may be enabled to make our parents glad. So it's not just saying, if you want to have an enjoyable relationship with your mom or dad, you should follow these instructions. Within the context of the Bible as a whole, this is part of the victory of Jesus as he undoes so much of what we deserve in the curse for the first sin of our first parents. And as we look forward to him even undoing death altogether. And so it's by the resurrection power of Jesus. Okay, so we really want to know what is wise and what is foolish, so that we can avoid being foolish and so that we can be wise. Okay, so verse 2. The treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Okay, so you think you can get something by lying. Or you can get away with something by lying. Or you think you may enjoy some property by stealing. The problem is, from whom comes all things? Who has given us everything that we have, Ezekiel? Jesus has given us everything we have, right? God has given us everything that we have. But even if you have everything under the sun, men's breakfast attendees, what is that worth? No. If it's under the sun, right? It's nothing. It's hevel. It's like a vapor or a mist or a shadow. Vanity. And the reason is because the enjoyment of it or goodness from it must be a gift from whom? Who makes the things that we get good for us, Ezekiel?
Jesus.
That's right. Only he can make it good for us. So does it make sense to say, I'm going to get this thing and it will be good for me, and I'm going to get it by disobeying Jesus? No. Because he's the one that we are trusting in to give us what is good. And he is the one that we are trusting in to make it good for us. So lying can't be a way to get a treasure that would do good for us. Stealing can't be a way to get a treasure that would do good for us. How about this one? Breaking the Sabbath. Profaning the Lord's Day. can't be a way to get a treasure that is good for us. Worshiping in the way that we feel is worshipful rather than how God says to worship, second commandment. Speaking of God or treating his name as light. Dishonoring our parents. Fulfilling our fleshly desires apart from God's design. Seventh commandment. The treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. How can that be? Who can tell me how righteousness delivers from death? Yes, John.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, there is a sense in which the Holy Spirit makes us wise and helps us to be obedient in ways that God blesses unto the preservation of life in this life. That's true. Beatrice. What?
The fear
of the Lord. Okay, I think we're just randomly saying spiritual sounding phrases now.
What's the question?
Well, John gave us half of the answer, and that would have been similar. Beatrice, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. Question is, how does righteousness deliver from death? Okay. I guess we should ask Ezekiel a question first. Ezekiel, whose righteousness delivers us from death? That's right. Jesus' righteousness delivers us from death. And how do you get Jesus' righteousness? Sounds like you're eating a towel and mumbling.
By believing in him.
So we believe in Christ, and his righteousness is counted unto us, so that our faith in him is reckoned for us, changes our account to make us righteous. And from what death, or how, or when, does Jesus' righteousness deliver us from death? Yes, there's spiritual death that it delivers us from. When we are made alive. How else? Will you die?
Yes, your body will.
Yes, if the Lord does not return before then, you will die. Mm-hmm. Will you stay dead?
No.
Will you be resurrected unto punishment and destruction forever?
No.
No.
No, why not?
Because
what, John?
Because Jesus died on the cross for
our
sins.
Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and because Jesus is our righteousness. His righteousness delivers us from death on a permanent basis, and his making us righteous by the work of his Spirit, producing the fear of the Lord in our hearts, so that we walk wisely, which the Lord has made a means of blessing his people, even in this life, does deliver us from death many times. Someone who has learned to be humble instead of proud, and to be patient instead of easily angered, may be saved from death that they might get, either by showing off or by becoming furious, going in, flying into a rage while they're driving a car. Somebody who learns to love and sacrifice himself for others and refuses to murder. Their child may be delivered from death by their refusing to have an abortion, even though there are many people who think it's convenient to do so. There are many different ways that God actually does often bless wise, godly, righteous living by saving us, by sparing us in this life. But you may also be righteous, and you may also be wise in such a way that you are following the Lord and walking with him, and still someone comes along and kills you for belonging to Jesus. Right? When James and Peter were in prison, and Herod executed James, but the angel came and let Peter out, it wasn't because James was a fool and Peter was wise. And yet both will be delivered from death. Okay. Let's do one more. Yahweh will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Interesting, he uses the word soul. Anyone remember someone who didn't eat for 40 days and was very hungry? Who was that, Ezekiel?
Noah.
No, it wasn't Noah. It rained for 40 days for Noah.
What thinking?
Who, Victoria?
God.
Well, God has never eaten it. Okay, Jesus. That's right, Jesus. Who is God? Divine person, human nature. And Moses also would have been correct. Elijah, I think, did as well. Okay, so Jesus. But when the devil came and said, if you are the Son of God, you must be very hungry. Did Jesus say, oh, you're right, my soul is famished? Now, what did Jesus say, John?
Jesus said, I am not hungry when I have the Bible.
The Bible, right. He said, and he quoted from Deuteronomy, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what, Beatrice? Yes, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, what do you mean? Haven't you read? Man doesn't live by bread alone. I have every word that has proceeded from the mouth of God. He could have quoted this verse, which says something very similar. Yahweh will not allow the righteous soul to famish. You see? He says, sure, I haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, but my soul isn't starving. I have every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay. Yahweh will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire. The wicked cannot have his desires satisfied in any kind of an ultimate sense, because God will frustrate them and punish them, even if it seems for a moment like they have gained some kind of pleasure or praise or position. Remember Psalm 73, and it looks like the wicked are getting all their desires fulfilled, and Asaph is very jealous. And then he goes to worship, and what does he say? There I saw their end. Truly, you put them in a slippery place. All at once, they are destroyed. Count on it, count on it, count on it. The wicked does not find the fulfillment of his desire, and he will receive destruction forever. Much better to be the one who trusts in Jesus, who's right, who, for whom Jesus is counted as his righteousness, who is saved from death, whose soul is satisfied in God himself, who is enjoying what Jesus deserves for him and has learned to be that wise child who makes a glad father, and to avoid being that foolish child who grieves his mother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these even just three verses in Proverbs, and we pray that you would help us to live by them, that we would rejoice over what Christ has done, that he would be our righteousness, that you would stir up our hearts in love towards you, love towards Jesus, that we might obey, that we might be wise, that we might enjoy having hearts that are satisfied and content, because you and your word satisfy us, and that we might know that we will be perfectly blessed forever and ever. Help us, Lord, then, we ask, by the ministry of your Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.